It's possible to feel that this thing, recording thing, kind of ruins the free flow of conversation. You have to, like, be zen about it, sort of get it out of your mind. There's not a phone recording us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, what we're doing is actually very mentally demanding.
Oh, come on. There's not many people who could do this.
I mean,
I'm not even sure we can.
Evidence suggests that, in fact, many people can do this. Can they do it well? Who's to say?
I mean, if you define this as the way we podcast.
Oh, yeah, no.
There's very few people who would even try.
I mean, I couldn't drive and produce content at the same time.
Yeah.
I can barely drive and listen to music at the same time.
Same. Is my driving on autopilot or my talking?
Well, imagine if both were on autopilot, though.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be bad.
It would just make for bad podcast experience and also, like, me having a bad experience.
And also bad driving.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not sending a link of this to our auto insurance company. Unless you think I should.
Unless you think they would listen.
Exactly.
Episode 14, Cutting Slack. In this episode, your hosts, Steve and Mal, hurtle from point A to point B while discussing the boomerang benefits of compassion, inciting their listeners to replace their peak with empathy. Don't go postal. Listeners, please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
Now, I know you have, not on this recording, but you have theorized that your mom and I are on the autistic spectrum.
Correct.
And mostly, far be it from me to contradict you in anything because it's more than my life is worth.
Yeah.
But partly, I feel like I have to confess to you.
Yeah.
Belatedly. That I don't think I've really ever self-identified as neurodivergent.
I know that you haven't, but I've also lived with you for like 26 years or whatever.
Yeah. And you know, I know where this is going, but go ahead.
Do you?
Yeah, you're going to say, y'all are wrong. You're neurodivergent AF,
Yeah, you're neurodivergent AF. I mean, here's the thing. Okay. I'm not going to fucking diagnose you both, but like...
Even though you have.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
I'm a teacher. So many of my kids, I will work with them and I'll be like, this kid is dyslexic, this kid has ADHD, whatever. But I can't diagnose them because I'm a teacher. I'm not like a psychiatrist or whatever. And I'm also encouraged not to do that. Like, I definitely don't tell the kids that. I do sometimes tell the kids, hey, this specific thing is going to be harder for you than it is for other kids, and therefore we're going to have to find a different way to teach you this, because that you're just going to be banging your head against the wall if you try and do it like this, like how everybody else is doing it. And that's fine. You can still get there, but we're going to have to find a different method for you.
How wonderfully supportive you are.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Better say that.
But,
right.
And so, like, you've gone a long time in your life without, like, needing a diagnosis or anything, needing accommodations like that. But there's probably things in your life where you're like, I'm kind of weird about this thing, and so I do it this way. And, like, I don't know, if you have enough of those instances in your life, sometimes it makes it feel better to be like, oh, there's a reason for all of these things. It's not that I'm weird in this way in the case of absolutely fucking everything I do. It's that they all fall under one thing, which is just my brain works differently than other people. And yeah, you may identify with that or you may not, but that's the experience that I've had.
I find that attitude really helpful. Everything you just said, like that, you know, maybe a person's behavior that seems like, you know, odd and maybe even not optimal from the other person's point of view can be explained by...
They're also getting over it.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
Can be explained by... But thank you for the heads up. So I didn't ram into that truck. Good.
Big-ass container truck.
Right.
Oh, it is an Amazon truck, though. Maybe you should go for it.
What if it was a Netflix truck?
Then you should definitely
They don't have those. But what I was saying is, lately, I don't know if this is under your beneficent influence or maybe just life, I've learned. But lately, it's very helpful to me, particularly when I'm thinking in my own curmudgeonly way that somebody I'm dealing with is like really annoying. I'm finding them really annoying. If I can get to this attitude where, like, wait, maybe there's just something about their wiring that makes them have to do this, it definitely takes the edge off of my annoyance. You know, I feel like, I mean, it's so much easier to take if you feel like, oh, you know, they can't help it.
Yeah.
Rather than they're doing it because they're just like a supervillain, evil, horrible person, and I hate them.
Yes.
So there is a postal clerk in a town where I go to the post office. And I was there like maybe yesterday it was, I think. No, day before yesterday. Because I had to mail a letter, certified mail, for work. And I knew that this clerk is there. She's like kind of the head clerk. And she's often there. And I thought before, I was a little rushed, you know, having to get stuff done. But I thought on the way out of my office, let me make sure to take the earbuds that fit my phone so that when she does the thing I'm about to report, I can be listening to other stuff on my phone.
Okay.
But I was that rushed.
That sounds
I didn't
very
do it.
Neurotypical of you, by the way.
All right. Touché. Fair enough. Good point. Point taken. But earbuds not taken. I'm, you know, lammed out of there. I don't know how neurotypical that is. Meant to do it, didn't do it. And there's a line, as there often is at this place, a bit of a line, customers, and there are two clerks, the one I'm talking about and another one. And the one I'm talking about does her thing that, all right, which is to talk at great length. And when I say great length, it doesn't do it justice, to a customer while there's a line. It's like she just has this love relationship with the sound of her voice, and her voice is loud, so there is no escaping it in this rather small room. And we're waiting, and it feels like the line is going backwards. And then to compound it, the customer she's talking to is an elderly man who has had trouble retrieving a letter. So the clerk is like on the phone to a colleague and sharing everything with all of us and throwing in little commentary about how you've been here twice and we're going to Mr. So-and-so and we're going to make sure. And like a typical conversation that you'll have with somebody while there's a line is, you know, like, how's your day going? And then that will trigger other things and it will just go on. And as it goes on, and the line is moving nowhere, I just feel like the phrase, the only way I could get through it, because I didn't bring my earbuds, was to take notes on my phone of what was going on. And one of the things I wrote is
like a common stand-up comedian.
I write it all down because, you know, just to cope, to get through this. And I said, I always
coping
end up
through it.
Exactly. I always end up feeling when this is happening I think of the phrase, God give me strength. But actually, I didn't write on my phone, but the truth is, it really brought to mind the phrase, I am going to have to kill myself. Because yeah. It was just so excruciating. It was like, oh. And then, of course, it takes for, is like, is this ever going to stop? And she's finally done, and the guy's like taking forever too, because he's like this clueless old guy. And the combination was just like, oh, they should make this illegal.
Age?
No, way older.
Okay.
Yeah, no, fair enough, but no, I thought of that when I said it.
Okay. No, they like should make old. This illegal. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So finally, it's like they very begrudgingly say goodbye to each other. And the next...
They exchange tearful goodbyes.
Yeah. As long and as great length as possible. And then the next person steps up to the same clerk's window and has two, like, maybe 7 or 8 year old kids with her. And the clerk is like, oh... And she starts talking to the kids, and it's like, are you in school? What's your favorite subject? And one of them says, math. And she says, see, we have a lot of math, geniuses in Name of Town.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I don't think my eyeballs are like, rated to be rolled as much as they were wanting to roll. And it's like, oh, my God. And the voice is loud. It's just not fun. It's not, you get the idea. So I was thinking, not too long ago, I think she had been in the hospital. The clerk had been, and then she, a few weeks ago, she was saying.
Because someone throttled her at the
window.
Well,
no. But I was thinking, I was thinking of, like, the next time I go to her window. Like, when I was there during this time I'm talking about, it was my turn to go to the other one, who was nice, quiet, efficient, done, and not like...
And you leaned across the counter and gave them a kiss on the mouth.
No, I wanted to, but the one I'm talking about, I was thinking the next time I am at her window, I'll say, like, are you okay? But this time I had much less kind thoughts, and I was thinking, well, I don't actually wish that you have something like really seriously wrong with you, but if it could somehow knock out your vocal cords, I would. Yeah, very unkind.
Awful.
Yeah, awful. But here, okay, so this is as of a day or so ago, the old Steve is reporting this story
sure.
to you. But the new Steve, who is capable of moments of, a much more
empathy.
Yeah, a nicer outlook on people and stuff. It has occurred to me, partly under your influence, that, and I meant to look it up on my phone. So we know that there's a thing, because you mentioned it, called hypergraphia.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably something called hyperlogia, which is like, you just can't stop talking. So, I didn't look it up, but it's like, maybe she has a condition. And that makes it so much easier to take that other than, will you stop talking?
This was
or whatever.
A thing that I used to do in like middle school, high school, when somebody was like being really annoying or pissing me off, or like I just found them really unpleasant to be around, really negative or whatever. Whoever's doing that, do they even know that we're recording a podcast?
I saw them coming.
Can they chill? Anyway.
Yeah.
But when I would... when I
Can you
would
chill?
Have,
Just
you
ask.
Know, a person that... who was, like, being fucking annoying, whatever, I would just picture them in my head, like, 20 years down the line, married with kids. And I was like, somebody will love this person. There's a version of them where they can just be normal and have a normal life and not be, like, fucking annoying to me. And I was like,
wow.
it made me chill the fuck out about them, actually.
It's like a superpower.
It's definitely a weird thing to do as a middle schooler, as a high schooler, to picture your, like, your peers who are, like, 13, 14 years old as, like, married with kids and, like, what they would be down the line and, like, somebody's going to love this person. But, like definitely, like, why the fuck did I do that? Where did I pick that up? I don't know.
All right. It's all good. You can't get this. Again, NPR.
Yeah, your big podcast.
They're
fuck
good.
Them. Yeah.
I think This American Life is good.
Ira Glass, hit us up whenever you want to be on a real podcast.
Radio Lab. Yeah, I mean, he'd have to drive with us.
He'd have to sit in the back.
Yeah.
I love Ira Glass.
Yeah, me too. And Glenn Washington does Snap Judgment. There are some good, good stuff on that. Yeah, heard a couple the other day. Shout out. So these guys are good.
Mm-hmm. But we're not here to rehash what the good work that Radiolab does.
Yeah, they do fine work.
You can go and listen to their many fine products.
I do enjoy talking about these other podcasts on ours. Not to guilt them out, but I notice I haven't returned
the favor.
No.
You can't even say it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we... Sorry. when you have a certain feeling of... I can't see. Oh, God. Oxygen. When you have a feeling of security in who you are as a podcaster, then you can afford to be taught, you know, you can share the joy, share the love. Not a problem. And obviously, you know, for all their talent and fame, the Ira Glasses of the world, they're not
a little insecure.
They're not there yet. You know, you'll get there, Ira.
This is turning from Steve therapy to Ira Glass.
Yeah.
Long distance therapy.
Yeah. Shout out to Ira Glass. Oh my God. The other thing I was going to say that I've been storing up is that a couple of days ago I ran across a guy, and I don't see him that often, to run across him a couple of times where he has trotted out to other people, but within my hearing, a pretty racist joke. And it's obviously homemade, you know. I mean, the way he tells it, it's like he thought of this, and it's kind of smirky, and it's kind of racist, anti-black. And I, you know, before then, I had a pretty sunny feeling about the guy. And then afterwards, I've had to, like, talk myself down from imaginary, like, just calling it out, which I'm still planning on doing. But, I mean, I was really kind of angry about it. And back to the, you know, thing about the postal clerk and the empathy. I mean, it's harder for me to, like, give a free pass to that. I'm not going to ever give a free pass. But it's like I have a little bit of contact with the guy, so I feel like based on that,
you want to preserve the relationship a little bit.
Or at least, like, call him out, but once the anger miraculously died down, I'm thinking of just, like, where's that coming? Do you genuinely just don't like black people? I know that a big part of it is you thought of this joke, you structured it, and you're kind of proud, and you think it's funny. I mean, it's not,
mm-hmm.
but, like, is that you just feel like black people are, you don't like them, or what's happening?
Yeah.
Talk to me, you asshole. But I was trying to say it in a not too, like, enraged way.
Yeah.
I don't know what will come back to me, but, you know, we have enough of a sort of rapport that I feel like I can do that.
Yeah, report back to me, because I mean, if you're able to just, like, stare blankly at this guy and be like, wait, I don't get it, can you, like, what is this, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, I get it, it's a joke, but, like...
Like, explain this, like, to me.
Yeah.
And this is the residual harm of the moment. Like, back in the day, you would have just thought, oh, what a dickish joke.
And now you're like, oh, is your entire outlook really fucked?
Yeah, does that mean all of the other stuff comes with it?
Yeah.
Like, what? How bad? How far down does this go? You know? And that reminds me, thank God. Okay, root canal the other day.
Oh, God. Okay. Sure.
I had root canal the other day.
Okay.
So I'm lying.
No urologist this time.
And no, this is going to be less difficult for you to hear.
Me,
for
me
sure.
A tooth freak.
And you, a tooth freak.
Yeah.
A tooth freak walks into a bar.
Yes.
Or not.
is gnawing on the bar stool. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Root canal.
For context for Tooth Freak, see my artworks.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Some of which we've definitely posted in show notes.
Yeah.
Right. So
okay,
I'm getting root canal, and it's a lengthy thing. There's like the upper right tooth, and there's, you know, it's just the tooth has, you know, got some infection under it, which is apparently why you need root canal. And it's a lengthy procedure. I've been duly numbed up, so it's not really that painful. But it's a bit of an ordeal because it's the better part of an hour that I'm lying in the chair, like flat on my back, so she can get at it. And the endodontist, as I like to call them. And like halfway through, it occurs to me, you know, my main ordeal is breathing is a little difficult because of the position of my head and trying to keep my breathing passages clear. But, you know, I'm doing my job and trying to, like, be as mellow as I can with this ordeal. And halfway through, it occurs to me, oh, wait a minute, you know, the x-rays that she had shown me that they took show quite naturally that the root canal, the you know, the roots of the tooth are up pretty close to my sinus passage. And suddenly it occurs to me, oh my God, what if, like, as she's like wanging away there to dig out the canals, what if she like breaks into the sinus cavity? That would probably be really bad. And I start, you know, you imagine it and then you think, well, it could happen because you've imagined it. I'm there, I'm a captive audience, and I'm thinking, you know, it would be good if I could just like chill out and just calm down. And how am I going to do that? You know, so the phrase came to me, what would Uber do? Uber being, you know, a fictional character, both from D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. I play as Uber. I created Uber. O-O-B-E-R. Uber is like a surfer dude. And I've also imported Uber into the novel about AI that I'm writing. Because naturally, who are the main characters going to meet in Patagonia in South America? It would be Uber. And so I'm lying in the chair and I'm thinking, what would Uber do? And it calmed me down. It partly calmed me down because it was so fucking funny for me to think of that.
Yeah.
Like my fictional, what would he do?
And what would he do?
Well, he would chill out. He would be like, oh, dude, it's like, it's going to be fine, you know? It's an adventure. And like, you know, like when you're in the pipeline and like the waves are big, you know, it's like you just got to ride it out. You just, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the journey.
As you're flat on your back getting a root canal.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep. Uber helped me. I mean, the minute.
I think we need to make bumper stickers for our shop.
Or the
what
merch.
What would Uber do? Yeah.
Oh, we could definitely. I think I should put in the show notes a picture of our fine, the ride to Redacted Bugs that your mom had made up.
I've been that using merch. Mine.
That you've been what?
Using mine.
Yeah, me too.
That's good.
Merch is coming, listeners. Something to look forward to. So how to relate what would Uber do to the other stuff about cutting people slack? I mean, Uber would cut people slack.
Yeah, sometimes it's literally, like, okay, so we weren't going to talk about it, but being kind of rude to that parent volunteer who was supervising carpool
right.
at my school.
Right.
Just chill the fuck out. Like, what is... I know the ex-New Yorker in you is like, I need to get to my car right now. But, like, you don't. It's fine if you wait another 90 seconds.
The difficulty is, what if I get it into my head, as I kind of did, that he's the one who needs to chill out?
I mean...
I'm not the one.
He's the one with... He doesn't have, like, a position of real authority in that moment, but he's also not lording it over you. there were cars that still needed to get out of the lot, and he was just like telling you to chill out.
Completely empty parking. All right.
No, there were still cars lined up to get out.
But not in the direction I was walking. It was like
there were an expanse over on the side.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
Well, I work there, and I've done carpool.
Oh.
And okay. I saw the cars. I know which direction they were going to be going.
I mean, I just saw an expanse of empty parking lot.
Okay.
All right, but bringing this back to Uber or somebody. So I guess what I need to do, because, you know, you do you. I can't control how you look at life. I mainly can just benefit from it, apparently, if I know what's good for me. But it's more like, how can I look at that parking lot guy?
Okay. Everyone hates doing carpool.
Okay. All right. That is the key to me.
Okay.
Everyone, that's the take home. And that goes on the bumper sticker, too, or the mug. Everyone hates doing carpool. What is it?
Carpool.
Everyone hates doing carpool. What would Uber do? The ride to Redacted. All right, okay. Everyone hates doing carpool.
Is everyone feeling loved and held right now?
Well, are they?
I don't know.
I hope so. We can only hope. You just know, listeners, that you are loved and held, even if you don't feel that way. If you don't feel that way, it would not be appropriate for us to say that's on you, because that's not the right vibe.
No, it doesn't pass the vibe check.
The truth is, you are loved and held, even if you don't feel that way. And we can only hope that you will eventually. And we're confident that you will. Whether you be Ira Glass or like some other person, or like a carpool
Janet.
Guy. Or Janet. Okay. Or even the suboptimally chill Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Even I am capable of feeling loved and held.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What in the actual fuck is this car doing? Just as I'm talking about being chill.
You mean the one in front of us?
No, that one. Up front.
It's
like,
waiting for the light.
Well, it's in between two lanes.
Alright.
It's over the line. Like, severely. Beep, beep. Move.
Okay. It's okay. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Oh, look at these people. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Get home safe. Love you.
That's
I'm not going to do the handshake. Oh, how about a fist bump? Does
okay.
that work? Okay.
All right. I love you. Get home safe.
That.
And also with you.
And
you also.
And you as well.
Okay.
Let's see if this came out.
Cowabunga.